Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower that we're going to look at this morning, the parable of the sower. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right there in front of you. You may feel free to use it. All right, Matthew 13. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now let me stop here and give you a little visual so you'll know what this fella did for a living. This was his job. This was his farm. This was his business. And he is sowing seed. Now, they did not have John Deere tractors back in those days, as you well know. And so a sower would simply get a bag of seed and put it over his shoulder, carry it on his hip, and he would reach down into the bag and get a handful of seed, and then very carefully and yet generously would spread the seed. Now, not all the seed fell into good ground. And that's what this parable is about. If you look down at verse 8, you will see that that other seed fell into good ground. Well, that's where, of course, the sower wanted the seed to fall. Because when it falls on the good ground, it brings forth fruit, verse 8, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. So fruit is what you're after as a sower. You want the seed to produce. All right, so this guy goes out and he reaches down into his bag. He gets a handful of seed and he begins to sow as he's walking back and forth in his field. All right, now look, please, at verse, 4. It says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away." And in verse 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now, verse 9 is the little invitation here. And Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." All right, now, be honest now. How many of you have ears? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah, some of you are in doubt. Some of you say, "Mine don't work." You know, my wife said, "I need hearing aids." I said, "Talk louder." And then it finally quit hurting about a week after that happened. But that's the parable of the sower. All right, now let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the love and the grace that you have poured out upon us. And Father, thank you for your mercy. We just ask now that you will bless as we open our Bibles and look at this wonderful parable that you spoke by the seaside. And Father, I pray that you will bless this to our hearts. I pray you'll give us understanding, and may we go from here this morning more determined than ever to be sowers of the seed of your word. So bless us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In verse 10, which I did not read to you, but verse 10, if you look down, the disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them, the people, in parables? Why do you speak in parables? Now, you may be wondering, what is a parable? Well, a parable was a very common way that the Lord spoke to people. In speaking parables, he gave them little visuals that they could keep in their mind that they would not soon forget. This one is a simple one. There is a fella who is going out to sow seed in his fields. And that's what the Lord would often do. He would take some little common thing, some little everyday, ordinary thing, and he would weave that ordinary into a story to make a huge point, to make just a great point that had a great meaning and application to it. Someone said, and I think this is very accurate, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All right? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Lord Jesus was an absolute master at using the parable as a way to very effectively communicate Bible truth that he wanted folks to hear and to understand. As I said just a moment ago, the Lord used this often as a means of teaching. You can read through the Sermon on the Mount and you'll find parable after parable. You can read through Matthew 24 and 25, and it's just one parable after another. And what's he doing? He is taking average, ordinary, everyday experiences in life, and he is teaching great heavenly truth by sharing something as simple as, for example, a man going out to sow in a field with the seed. Now, he would speak of birds, he would speak of sheep, he would speak of growing vegetables and growing things. He would talk about farming, he would talk about harvesting, he would talk about buying and selling. I mean, he would just use the most simple of the ordinary things in life and make deep and profound points, trying to convince people to love him, live for him, and serve the Lord. Now, here in this 13th chapter, the Lord Jesus gives several parables to teach and show the people, as well as his disciples, amazing truths and about the matter of serving in the kingdom of God. Serving the Lord. Now, this parable that I have read for you here in verse 1 through 8, this parable is interpreted by the Lord Jesus just a few verses down. If you will look, for example, at verse 18, here's the explanation. Now, not many parables were explained by the Lord, but he explains this one. And it's a good thing he does, because he just brings it to life. So let's read his explanation. All right, he says in verse 18, "Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom." All right, now did you catch that? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Then in verse 20, it says, He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Now, how many of you have used the word anon in the last 10 years? Raise your hand. Huh? You've used the word anonymous, but have you used the word anon? Probably not. You say, well, what in the world does anon mean? Well, let's read the next verse and you'll see the Bible's built-in dictionary, all right? If there's a word that you don't understand, just keep reading, because the Bible will explain it to you. So look at verse 21. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, anon he is offended." All right, do you see? By and by. That's what anon means, by and by. So when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this," what? "World." This world. "And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some and hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. All right, so that's our Lord's explanation of this parable. Now, what was the point the Lord Jesus was making? What is he teaching here in this simple little illustration of a man sowing seed? Well, there are a couple of things that need to be emphasized. First, we see the sower. The sower. Now, we all understand that the Lord Jesus was the original sower of the seed. All right? But he has committed that sowing to us. He went back to the Father to have a seat at the Father's right hand in heaven, but he commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, so the Lord Jesus is the original sower, and he has now commissioned us to be sowers of the word. I come in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I take the Bible and I say, "Turn in your Bible." I never say, "Open your Carroll County Times." I never say, "Open the New York Slimes." All right? I never tell you to do that. No, because we come to church because we want to hear what God has to say. All right, so I'll always come up here and say, "Open your Bible this morning," or "Open your Bible tonight," because what we are doing when you gather here and I ask you to turn to a specific passage of Scripture, what I'm doing there is I am sowing the seed in your hearts. All right? We're seed sowers. We have, throughout the week, we have all kinds of seed sowing going on. Tomorrow, the Super 60s will go and sow seed on visitation and go talk to folks about the Lord and pray with folks. Then on Tuesday evening, we'll have some folks go out. Then on Wednesday, the young people go out after school. And they go to a community somewhere, and they knock on doors, and they pass out gospel tracts and invitations for folks to come to church and witness to people. Then on Thursday, we have our soul-winning visitation where folks come, and we have a dinner, and then I guess a supper, and then we go out and tell folks about Jesus. All right, and then on Saturday, our buses go out. Our bus people go out, and they round up folks to ride the bus the next day and get opportunities to witness. So there is seed sowing going on all the time at the Church of the Open Door. All right, we have all the sermons on the website. So anybody can get on the website. I get emails and messages left on my phone, and folks will say, "Hey, the Lord directed me to your website out of the blue," and I listen to, and they tell me the sermon they listen to, and I just wanted you to know that I've now listened to every message on your website, and I just think, good grief. Don't you have anything better to do than listen to me? But that's what they tell me. They love it. They just say, I got saved. People have said, I got saved. Thank you. Thank you for putting that thing on the end where you led me to Christ. And who knows how many people have been led to Christ because of that little invitation that we tacked on to the end of every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night message. You see, seed sowing, that's what it's all about, seed sowing. Now, that's the sower. But now, secondly, what does the sower sow? Well, he sows the seed. And folks, make no mistake about it, the seed is a picture of the Word of God, the Bible. The scriptures, that's what men need to hear. We understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we sow the word of God. I had a preacher friend and who wrote a book, and he told me one time, shortly after that, he said, "Have I given you a copy of my book?" And I said, "No, you haven't." He said, "Well, let me give you one." He pulled one out of his bag and handed it to me. And I said, "Oh, thanks." He said, "We're going to start teaching this in Sunday school on this coming Sunday morning." And I went, "Ooh." And he said, "What?" And I said, "That's not going to float." "What do you mean?" I said, "That's not going to fly. You mark my word for it. You're going to have trouble if you do that." He said, "Well, why would we have trouble?" I said, "Because folks are going to say we're teaching your words, your book, not God's book." Well, 2 weeks later, he called me up and he said, "Hey, prophet." And I said, "Backfired on you, didn't it?" He said, "Oh, my goodness, big time." He said, "I pulled it immediately. I pulled it immediately." And I said, "Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so." And that's exactly, you know, we sow the seed of God's word. God's word, that's what men need. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so what's the sower sow? He sows the seed. And you'll see that this is what the world needs to hear. in verse 19. Look at verse 19, and it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now, what's anyone mean? It means anyone. Yeah, doesn't matter who you are. If you hear the word of the kingdom. Now, folks, mark it down. There are folks that are going to have different responses to the word of God. We see that here all the time. All the time. There are many Sundays, more than not, I would say, there are many Sundays where folks will come in, first time here, and I don't know what they were expecting, but you know, we just do here what we've done since the church's inception. That is, we stand up and we teach and preach the Bible. That's just what we do. We don't make any bones about it. We just get up and do it. And I don't know what some folks are expecting, but evidently a 50-minute sermon is not what they had in mind, all right? And so about 10 minutes into it, you'll see him look at her, and then she'll look at him, and then the next thing you know, they're up and boom, out the door. When I say, look at so-and-so, everybody looks down, they go out. And I don't know what they were anticipating. I don't know. One fella asked me, said, when's the band to come out? And I said, well, I wear my wedding band all the time, just all the time. No, that's not what they mean, when's wedding bands come out. They want to know when the Boogie Woogie Sisters are going to get up here and start jamming for Jesus. That's what they're wanting to know. But we don't do that. We don't do that. I got saved out of that. I don't want to bring that into my church. Come on. So when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So the soul winner, the preacher, the evangelist, the missionary goes forth to spread the word of God. The soul winner goes forth to spread the word of God. And so then the third thing, where does he sow the seed of God's word? Where does he sow it? Well, notice that's what this parable is all about. Notice there are four kinds of soil where the seed can fall. Four kinds. Now, let's look at these. Some seed, number one, fell by the wayside. Now, what's the wayside? Well, the wayside is a pathway. A pathway. That's where you walk on something so often, so much, that you wear down, you pat down the soil. You make it hard when you walk on it over and over and over and over. The soil becomes compacted, and it's hard. And the wayside is the hardened pathway. You know, you walk on it over and over and over, and then it turns into a hardened pathway. You know, when you got a pathway and that ground's as hard as it can be, nothing will grow on it. You can plant seed on it, sow seed on it all you want. It's not going to grow. You've got to plow it up and then break up the clods if you want the seed to produce. So some seed fell on the pathway. And what happened? It couldn't bloom. It couldn't produce anything. And so the birds came and they devoured the seed, and there was no seed left. It was just gone like that. And Jesus said in his explanation that the soil was so hard that a person who hears the word of God, but he has a hardened heart. You see, the soil is a picture of the heart of man. The heart of man. Don't you find it strange? There can be, let's take Living Cross night, all right? Let's take Friday night of Living Cross. The building's full. The building's packed. And the play is given, and folks are moved. And I get up and share the gospel and give an invitation. And there are folks who are so anxious to receive the Lord. Sometimes they even pray out loud with me. When I'll say, if you'd like to receive Christ, pray with me. And I'll say, just pray this prayer, but mean it in your own heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, and you'll hear folks, Dear Heavenly Father. They're praying out loud with me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that stirs my soul every time I see that. But then there'll be other folks, and they'll sit here, and it's just like water off a duck's back. It doesn't move them a bit. What's wrong? They got a hard heart. That's what's wrong. They got a hardened heart. The soil, their heart, is hard, and that the seed cannot produce. It cannot bring forth fruit. And you know, we see this hard heart all the time. Those of us who are the pastors here, we see it all the time. I mean, someone will come in here for the first time and the Word of God is preached and the gospel is given, and you can just look at some of these folks and see that they have a hardened heart against the Lord. It's just like nothing. Others are moved. There's been times where folks couldn't wait till I got to the invitation. I was preaching one night down in West Virginia years ago, and I was right in the middle of a sermon, right in the middle of it. And I said in that sermon, if I were here tonight and did not know for sure that I was going to heaven when I die, I wouldn't wait for the invitation. I'd get up right now, run to this altar, and get saved. Well, this woman jumps up and this man jumps up beside her. They both come down the front. And the pastor took the man and led him to the Lord. And then the pastor's wife took the lady and led her to the Lord. Folks were shocked. I said, folks, listen, they're just getting saved. You've already been saved, so you listen to me, all right? You listen to me. And continued preaching. And then we had more folks saved during the invitation of that service. So, hey, if you're here and you're not saved, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You don't want to get to the place where you hear the gospel over and over and over and say no to the gospel over and over and over, and then find out that your heart is hardened against the Lord. Oh, you don't want to have a hard heart, folks. I mean, before you get out in the car and get home, the devil comes along and steals away the seed that was sown upon your hard heart. And in just a matter of moments, you just seem to have forgotten about everything. I've told you before my testimony, and the first Sunday that I went to church, at the invitation, I sat there just as angry as I could be, mad, because I thought my mom had called that preacher and told him all my sins, because he preached on all of them. I don't think he left a thing out. And to beat all, he pointed his finger at me while he was preaching. Now, I know I was sitting over here and he was facing this way, but he was pointing his finger at me. I know that. And so when the invitation was given, I was bitter. I was mad. I'm not going. And we got out in the car. My mom said, wasn't that wonderful? And I said, what? She said, the service, the message, wasn't that great? No, it was awful. She said, well, what was awful about it? I said, because you called him and told him everything I've ever done. He preached right at me. She goes, oh, he did not. And I said, yes, he did, and I'm never going back. And before I got home, I was over it. I was over it. And I decided I wasn't ever going back. But I did go back. And it was the same thing. It took me 5 Sundays before I got saved. 5 times I sat there and listened. And that heart began to, the ground began to break up. Why? Because the word of God was piercing into that old hard heart of mine. And you see, that is exactly what the devil tries to do. He'll try to get you distracted. He'll try to get you off. He'll say, whisper in your ear, oh, you're okay. You don't have to worry about all this right now. You got your whole life ahead of you. My friend, make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. Then in verse 5, we see the second kind of soil, the second kind of heart, and that is the stony heart. Now, I want you to picture this one in your mind's eye. That sower reaches down in the bag, and he gets some seed, and he's walking along the side of his field, and he's very carefully throwing the seed, but he knows that over here is the boundary, so he's with great accuracy, he throws the seed, but a little bit of it gets over onto the thorny or to the stony soil where the rocks are, you know. I remember when my grandfather had a garden every year till he died. He had a garden, and we would just walk along the edge and pick up the rocks, and he would take my brother and I, because we never saw a rock we couldn't throw. And so he would take us along with him, and he'd say, now, boys, throw all these rocks that are here. They're going to eventually end up over in the garden. So throw those rocks over in the creek. So we'd go by and pick up the rocks, and we'd find little chunks of coal. Little chunks of coal. And he'd say, now don't throw the coal. We'd say, why? He'd say, just put them in your pocket. Put them in your pocket. And so we'd load our pockets up with coal. And then by the time we got through, we were over at the hog pen. And we'd take that coal and throw it into the hogs. And those hogs would sit there and chomp that stuff up and just love it. Don't ask me why. I didn't know. I just did what he told me to do. But they would eat that coal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? A couple of you do. Yeah, you've seen that. And so my grandfather would say, now throw all those rocks away. Well, the reason is because the seed is not going to grow in the stony ground. Get this picture, folks. Get this picture. This soil it's got the rocks half sticking out of the ground, half sticking in. And the seed falls over there. Well, it can't take root, all right? It can't take root because of the stony soil. And if you look, it says in verse 5 that it sprung up, but because there was no deepness of earth when the sun was up, it was scorched. So it didn't have root. It did not get rooted in the soil. Now, folks, look here. I'm gonna say something here now. I want you to just put this back in the hopper and sift it out after a while, all right? But let me say this to you. No fruit, no root. You listening? That's something to think about, isn't it? No fruit. You don't have any fruit in your Christian life. You better check to make sure you're rooted. Amen. Amen. You see, the devil's in the deception business. That's what he does. Lie and deceive. So that's the stony soil. Now look at verse 20 and 21. In verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." No fruit. There's no root. That's something to think about, isn't it? I would think so. That's the stony soil. And folks, I like to think of this person as the emotional hearer. You know, this is the picture of the person who has made a mess out of their life. I mean, if this hearer comes into church, you find out there's just all kinds of problems. I mean, all kinds of problems. And they're going through a trial right now, going through a terrible time right now. And usually they're emotional, you know, and you preach the message and then you give the invitation and down the aisle they come and they're crying and boo-hooing and hugging everybody. And, you know, someone sits down, goes through the plan of salvation with them. And then the strangest thing is, you know, they go through the motions and they're crying and they're hugging. And, you know, I mean, you just think to yourself, wow, this guy's got it. This gal's got it. You know, look at how emotional they are. Look at how excited they are. And then they walk out the door and you don't ever see them again. The emotional hearer. Man, we see that a lot, don't we? Those of you who have been here for a long time, you know that's true. The emotional hearer. I wonder how many during Living Cross Week are just emotional hearers. Really, I wonder that. I wonder that. My job is to sow the seed. Your job is to sow the seed. The job of this church is to sow the seed. But the strangest thing is, sometimes you sow the seed, and then whoever receives it just disappears. Where'd they go? Where do they go? Does anybody know where they go? You go knock on their door, and they don't live there anymore. They just gave you the address Sunday. And it's Tuesday night, and you go knock on the door, and nobody answers the door. And finally, somebody sticks their head out of another door and says, "Are you looking for so-and-so?" "Yeah." "Well, they moved." "When?" "Monday morning." "Monday morning? Where'd they go?" "Well, I don't know where they went, but they backed up a truck and loaded the truck up, and they left." "Well, I declare." And you know, no matter how hard you look for them, you can't find them. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. This is the way it is. I'll guarantee you the CIA couldn't find half of them. That's true. And it's the strangest, it's almost like aliens have come and just beamed them up to the mothership, and boom, they're gone without a trace. Now, don't go out of here and say I believe in aliens and the mothership. That was hyperbole. But inevitably, somebody will. And then thirdly, the third kind of soil is thorny soil. Now, if you look at the explanation for this in verse 22, Jesus said, this is the heart that loves the world. They just love the world. They'll hear the seed and then receive it, quote unquote, but they don't ever do anything for the Lord. Why? love the world. They love the world more than they love God. You know, I remember years ago, my grandfather had this huge Black Angus bull that he used to breed. And that bull had the temperament of a trapped wolverine. You know, it was just mean. He was just mean. He'd step on you. If you give him half a chance, he'd stomp on your foot. Just send you to the ground. He'd put he'd stomp down on you and then just hold you there. My grandfather doubled up his fist one day and hit that thing right here on the cheekbone as hard as he could hit it because it stepped on his foot and wouldn't move. And he busted it right here as hard as he could hit it. And I said, "Now, what good did that do you?" He said, "Well, he moved his foot, didn't you? Didn't he? I said, "Yeah, but your knuckles are broken now." Mean, just mean as it could be. And my grandfather said, "I'll fix that." And he brought some guy over, and they put a ring in that thing's nose, through the septum of its nose. Yeah. And after that thing healed up a little bit, my grandfather could put a leash on that bull ring. He could lead that thing anywhere he wanted it to go. Anywhere he wanted it. And you know, people ask me all the time, "Pastor, what do you think about tattoos and all these earrings all over the place? And what do you think about all this nose ring stuff and all the rest of that?" Well, I wonder how many folks are not serving the Lord because their love for the world is greater than their love for the Lord. And I know it happens because we have rules. We have standards. And it doesn't do you guys a bit of good to get mad at Pastor Brian because he didn't come up with the rules. He might enforce it. No, he will enforce it. But he didn't come up with the rules. You say, "Well, then who are we supposed to be mad at?" Me. I made the rules. And that rule says you can't have a bull ring in your nose and sing in the choir. You just can't. You see, my Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Who's them? The world. And so I'm not endorsing that stuff. Cover your tattoos up. I know some of you got tattoos before you were saved. Well, look at how it impacts you. I've never had anybody say, "Man, I'm glad I got this flame tattooed to the side of my face." Nobody's ever said that to me. I don't know if y'all are aware of it or not, but George Clooney, who is a liberal nut job, but George Clooney has flames on his face. Who does that? Huh? Like this. You say, "Well, I've never seen it." Oh, he's not going to let you see it. But it's been there for eons. Eons. He covers it up. Mike Tyson. Duh. Why do people do that? Identification. They're identifying with the world. That's what it is. Plain and simple, that's what it is. It's identification. This is what our society wants today. They want to be like the world today. And Jesus said that being like the world, loving the world, will choke the seed of God's eternal word in your heart. Love God. Don't love the world. Serve the Lord. Don't serve the world. My grandfather put that bull ring in that thing's nose and hooked that leash to it. He could take it anywhere he wanted to take it. I wonder, is the devil got you by the nose? Just wondering. He said, I don't think you ought to preach on that. I know. I know you don't. But somebody needs to get the truth to you. You know, one of these days your child's going to come to you and say, Mom, I want a bull ring. Well, you just look her in the eye and tell her you ain't a bull. Amen. But that's where we are in our world. You say, you're just fussing. Maybe. But it makes sense to me. Love not the world. And then fourthly, there's the good soil. Now that's where we all want to be. When the seed is sown, it lands on good soil. We're not sitting there, you know, reach me if you can. No, that's not the philosophy. You know, I find it strange, you know, and I'm not being unkind. I can be unkind without trying, but I remember when folks who are not here now, they're not here now, back years ago, thought, I walked on water. What happened? What changed? Huh? You stopped sowing the seed, and what happens is, the first thing, go backwards, look at that. You stop sowing the seed, go backwards one. You get worldly minded. You stop sowing the seed, go back one more. Then you get way out, critical. Critical. Somebody says something about you, boom, you blow up. And then go back one more. Well, you got hard. Hard. And it all revolves around sowing the seed. You got to keep the seed flowing. You got to be tossing it here, tossing it there, getting in it and reading it, growing, getting stronger, serving. That's how it works. So, well, that preacher sure has changed through the years, has he? I don't think he has. I work hard not to change. I work hard to be stubborn. I do. I work hard. I'm not changing. I'm not changing Bibles, and I'm not changing to rock and roll music. I'm not doing it. You want to see some stuff, go online. Go online, folks. Just Google on YouTube, outrageous church music. Just do it. I'm not going that direction because that's where it ends up. That's where it ends up. People, you go down that road, that's where it ends up. And it's nothing but carnality and flesh. Well, you've heard this 1,000 times. I'm not done, but I'm finished. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless what's been said today to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we have heard. Lord, I didn't write this. I didn't say this. You did. And I pray that you will help us to look beyond the messenger and look at the message and see if there's any truth, any value in it. And Father, I think there is. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today and help us to reevaluate ourselves in the light of your word. If we're not serving, why are we not serving the Lord? If we're not growing, why are we not growing? And Father, everything revolves around the seed. We've got to be right with the Word of God. Read it, love it, learn it, memorize it, meditate upon it, and hide it in our hearts so we won't sin against you. So bless your Word now, Jesus, we ask. Amen.